Good evening, everybody. At this point, feel free to respond. Good evening.
Good evening, Rabbi Brander.
Okay, fine. Excellent. Had the great privilege this past week of kicking a daughter out of the house. It was a very special privilege of kicking her out via the extra room. I didn't kick her out of the country. I just kicked her out of the house. And on Motei Shabbos on Saturday night, which was the last day of Shabrachas, we got on a plane to New York, because no celebration is complete without New York. As we all know, I'm a New Yorker. And it was about 40 degrees. It was about 40 degrees in New York. Serves them right for living there. And but it was fall, so therefore I got to crunch the leaves, and the trees were these beautiful colors, wonderful orange red colors. And we had two Sheva Brachas. This is a study in contrast. We had a Sheva Brachas at 12 o'clock, and that was about the average age of the people in the Sheva Brachas. The average age was about maybe it's about 10 or 12, because it was all little kids. Oh. And then we had a second Sheva Brachas, which is the main reason we went for, because my wife's grandmother, she's living be well. She's just reached 90 years. So she put on the Sheva Brachas as well. When Bubby Kramer speaks, we listen. And it was a very beautiful Sheva Brachas. There were well over about 120 people, I'd say, were there at the Sheva Brachas. Uh-huh. And it was a classic New York cuisine. So there was, like, they served kishka with the, in L.A., if you serve kishka, the cholesterol police would be coming from various different locations and arresting you. But it was New York, so it was fine. And there the average age was more than 10. So he says more than 10. I'm afraid that Bubby Kramer might be listening to this, so I don't want to say exactly, but I'd say the average age was about, I don't know, about 80, 75, 80, something like that. But what was really beautiful, is that no matter where you go, when one celebrates a simcha, a Yiddish a simcha, a Jewish simcha, festivity, celebration, you could be young, you could be old, but the ability to celebrate with Klal Yisrael, with the Jewish people, it's like a really special thing. Everybody's happy. Like, you know, they want to be part of, they want to connect to the Nitzchius, to the eternity of the Jewish people. You know, the young kids are happy because it's good food at these things. But the older Chevra, they understand the significance. So we say in the Halalukas, that's the five psalms that are part of the Pesukim de Zimra, we say, Bachurim v'gam betulot zekeinim im ne'arim yahalu Hashem Hashem. Right? Bachurim v'gam, the young ones, zekeinim im ne'arim, the older generation with the younger generation. Why? Because the older generation realizes, they see the sense of the Nitzchius, they see the sense of the eternity of the Jewish people. That's very, very special. It's been a very special week, and now it's time to, and then I came back last night, very late last night. It was like 12 hours in New York, that was enough, it was Yotze, and I came back last night, and now it's back to normal, back to the abnormal normal that is the life, that is my life, Baruch Hashem. Anyways, I want to thank all of you who were part of the Simcha, all of you that made the Simcha so beautiful. Hashem should give you all the bracha of celebrating that Simcha, either personally or for your children, whatever is relevant. It's a tremendous, tremendous Simcha, Zachayim, tremendous Simcha. Hashem should give you that Nachas Ruach, and I hope that I have the ability, if it's appropriate, to be able to share in your simcha, to dance at your weddings, to dance in the right time. May it happen speedily in our days. Speedily in our days. Okay. That was a bracha. That was a bracha. I'm not a rabbi. You don't have to pay me for the bracha. But that was the bracha. Okay. I want to share with you a few pieces of deep Torah connected to the parsha. And it's going to be Be'ikar, parsha Vayetze, which is when Yaakov leaves home, goes to the house of Lavan. Primarily, we're going to talk about Rachel and Leah, because that's always a compelling topic, Rachel and Leah. I want to learn with you one or two smaller inyanim, one or two small pieces, and then we're going to go into something deep, but they'll be connected. They'll be very connected. So all the shir will be around Rachel and Leah. But first, let's take a quick look. At the parsha of Vayetze. What page is it on?
145.
Thank you. 145. So, as we've learned in the past, Yaakov Avinu leaves home. He has that famous dream, the ladder of the Malachim going up and down. Hashem promises him. And then finally, Yaakov goes to the house of Lavan. Right? He goes to the house of Lavan. And if you take a look at page 148, so Yaakov sees Rachel, verse 10. Vayikasher ra'a Yaakov es Rachel bas Lavan achi imo. When Yaakov sees Rachel, the daughter of Lavan, achi imo, Lavan who was the sister of Rivka. So he sees Rachel and he's very moved. Yaakov took the rock which was on top of the well, and he watered the sheep of Lavan. Yaakov kissed Rachel. Those of you wondering how is that halachically inbounds, if you're wondering about that question, I'm going to disappoint you. We're not going to talk about it. Vayisa es kolo vayeit.
It's a quick answer.
Okay. The quick answer is it's not okay for you to learn any halachic protocol from this. And if you want to know what's going on a deeper level, I can't tell you.
Can I say relative?
What's that?
It's a relative. It's a close relative.
That doesn't work. Vayisa es kolo vayev. It's all right. Vayisa es kolo vayev. And he lifted up his voice and he cried. Rashi says why he cried. It's a lot of deep stuff going on here. Okay. Then if you take a look, please, at page 150. We're introduced to the other sister, verse 16. Ulilavan shtei banos. Lavan had two daughters. Shem hagedola Leah. The name of the older daughter was Leah. V'shem haktana Rachel. And the name of the younger daughter was Rachel. The Ene Leah Rakos. And the eyes of Leah were Rakos. Rach, soft, tender. The Rachel Hayisah Yifas Tor Yifas Mareh. And Rachel, she was fair or beautiful in description and beautiful in appearance, beautiful of form and beautiful of appearance. By contrast, what does it sound like when we read this pasuk in terms of Leah? What does it sound like, Nu?
She's not beautiful.
That she was not beautiful. Even though if you have soft eyes, and if you have soft eyes, that's generally speaking considered to be a beautiful thing, to have soft eyes, right? Unless the soft eyes don't refer to the inviting nature of the pupils, but rather refer to the puffy nature of the skin underneath the eyes, because when do people have puffy eyes? When they're tired, when they have allergies, right? When they're crying, right? That's when they have puffy. So it's interesting, one of the commentaries, the commentary of the Das Zakenim, I believe it is, the Balei HaTosis, they learn that Rachel, that Leah had very beautiful eyes. They say that the phrase of Eine Leah Rakot means that Rachel had very, very beautiful eyes. And that's what the text is saying. And according to them, how do you read the pshat in the phrase, and Rachel was beautiful? What does it mean according to them? So what do you think that means? What's that? Say again?
She used to cry a lot.
No, so Eine Leah Rakot means that she had beautiful eyes. Okay? But Rachel what?
She was beautiful in every way.
You could say Rachel was beautiful in every way. You could say that she was beautiful in every way. But the Das Zakenim doesn't say that. The Das Zakenim says that Leah had beautiful eyes and Rachel had beautiful in every way except her eyes. Except her eyes. Why? Why? We'll see why in a moment. We'll see why in a moment, okay? But Rashi goes with the classic traditional explanation. What is Rashi's famous explanation? Anybody know what Rashi's famous explanation is here?
She was crying because she was going to marry Esau.
Oh, that Leah was crying. She had puffy eyes. And the reason why she had puffy eyes is because she saw that, let's work out the math here. She saw that what? That Rivka had two children. Remember, Rivka and Lavan are brother and sister, right? Sister and brother. And Rivka had two children. And the name of the two children were?
Joseph and
Esav. Yaakov and Esav, right? Esav is the older and Yaakov is the younger. And the Lavan had two daughters. And the name of those two daughters were? Leah and Rachel. So she figured it's going to be the Shidduch. It's going to be the older marries the older and the younger marries the younger. And Leah was not thrilled about marrying Esav. He was not the apple of her eye, shall we say. And therefore, Rashi records here this exact medrash. And therefore Rashi says that she was crying because that was bothering her in a tremendous way, right? She was crying because that was bothering her in a tremendous way. That is the famous Rashi.
But Esau was already married.
Esau was already married?
Thrice.
So why is that a kasha? He can't get married again?
He can have a lot of wives.
He could have gotten married again, yeah. That's not such a kasha, I think. There are a few other ways to answer it, but he could have married her also. It's not a bad question, but it's doable, right? We can work it out. That's fine. Hold on. Now, if I could... I'll say this here. Okay, fine. So that's the famous thing. But there's something very interesting here that happens, and I want to call your attention to this. Okay? And that is as follows. We know that what happens, what does Rachel do? Rachel gives the signs away. Right? Right? Where do we see that in the text? What do we see then in the text? So take a look with me. It says, verse 20, Vayavod Yaakov b'Rachel. Yaakov worked for Rachel 7 shanim, 7 years. Ayu be'inav ki yamim achadim ba'avato otan. It went by quickly because he loved her so much. So then what happens? Lavan makes a party and he takes Leah. And then it says in verse 25, "Vayehi baboker v'hinei hi Leah," and it was in the morning, and behold, she's Leah, right? So v'hinei hi Leah. So like, what happened here, right? He didn't know at night, but he knew in the morning. V'hinei hi Leah. So Rashi says, verse 25. Like, what's the behold? You follow me? What's the behold implies what?
Surprise?
A surprise, right? Now my daughter walked down just a week ago, And the truth is, I had no idea who was underneath the veil. That was a thick veil. My daughter is very religious. That was a very thick veil, right? But I assumed, based on height and weight and the general demeanor, that was my daughter, right?
Did your wife know?
But I'm sure my wife knew. If my daughter gets a hold of this shear, I'm dead. So if anybody spreads this to my daughter, I will not be happy with you. Okay? But it wasn't late at night. Meaning what? Yaakov gave the signs over to Rachel because, according to Chazal, Yaakov expected that Lavan would trick him. And when Rachel saw that they were bringing Leah, Amra Achshav Tikale Machoti. Now my sister is going to be embarrassed. Amda umaswala otan simanim. She handed to Leah those signs. So what's the biblical basis of the powerful midrashic story that Rachel handed the signs to Leah? What's the biblical basis? Vihine. And behold, it's Leah. You follow that? Like there's a surprise. Yaakov is surprised. V'inei Leah. So that's the basis that the Medrash, gives us the deeper meaning. But he was surprised.
Anyone else would have been surprised. If we didn't say that, I would be surprised. You wake up, I'm sorry, this is another woman. Are you not supposed to be surprised?
Why didn't he know only in the morning and not at night? That's the point. At night, he had reason to believe it wasn't Leah. Now, obviously, it means that Rachel and Leah must have been very similar in many ways. Okay. Now let's hold off. I need to develop one thing here. So I want to share with you something amazing that happens here. Okay. There was a very famous medrash. I'm sure 75% of you have heard of this medrash. And it's a medrash that we reference Dafka on Tisha B'Av. Very powerful. I want to read to you the medrash. And there are really two versions, at least, of this medrash. So I want to read to you both versions. Okay? The most famous version of the medrash goes like this. I'm going to read it quickly. That there's a famous story in the book of Yirmiyahu, chapter 31. Okay, whenever I teach Yirmiyahu, I'm on safe ground, because that means that most people here, have not done it. But Yirmiyahu has a few famous chapters which we read, in particular this chapter we read on Rosh Hashanah. And the reason why we read on Rosh Hashanah is because of this that I'm going to read. Komar Hashem. Hashem says, Kol b'Rama nishma. A voice is heard from the Ramah, from the heights. Nihi b'chi tamrurim. It is a voice of crying, of bitter crying. It's Rachel mivakal baneha. It's Rachel who cries for her daughters, for her children. May anali nachema baneha. She refuses to be comforted for her children, ki einenu, because they're not around. Komar Hashem, and Hashem responds, min I kolech mi bechi. You should refrain from crying. Veinayich mi dima, and you should prevent your eyes from tearing. Ki yesh sachar le because there is reward for your actions, says Hashem. B'shavu me'eretz oyev, and when the Jews return from the enemy, v'yesh tikva l'achriseichnu Hashem, there is hope in the end, b'shavu banim l'gvulam, and the Jews will return back to their borders. You go to Ramat Beit Shemesh or any other American Jewish community, I would imagine, and usually in the summertime you have a lot of people who make aliyah, and you go to the Shabbat where these people will make aliyah. Usually they sing that song, the Shavu Banim Legvulam, the beautiful return of the Jews back to the boundaries. This is a famous passage in the prophet Yirmiyahu. So comes the Medrash. So it's talking about the Jews who were exiled, and it's not a good scene. This is the Babylonian exile, right? The first place of Migdosh. And Rachel is crying because the Jews are being exiled. And the Medrash says that, why Rachel? Why Rachel? So again, I think most of you know this Medrash. The Medrash says because the fathers and the mothers, the matriarchs and the patriarchs, they went to appease Hashem. They went to appease Hashem and said what? And said, Hashem, please, for our sake. Avram says, for my sake. And Yitzchak says, for my sake. And Yaakov and Sarah and Rivka and Leah, none of them work. Nichnis or Rachel. And the main crime was that the Jews were engaged in idolatry. This is the first Beis HaMikdash, right? Nichnis Rachel, Amar Lefanei Ribono Shel Olam. Rachamei mi merubim. Whose mercy is greater? The mercy of God, Rachamecha? O Rachamei Basar Badam? Or the mercy of man? Havi Omer Rachamecha merubim. Your mercy is greater. I brought a competitor into my home also. Yaakov works for me. They brought in my sister. Not only was I quiet, I gave her the signs. So to you, God, if your children brought in some competition into your home, competition meaning what?
Idolatry.
Shetokahem, you should be quiet. Amar lahem yofel, this is not the famous version of the Medrash. Amar lahem yofel amadit sanigoria. You have done a wonderful job of defending the Jewish people. Yesh sachar lepulateich. You have reward, etc. Shemasarta simanech lachosaych. So what happens? What happens is that God says, I promise that that it's going to be a short exile and the Jews will return back home. This is a very famous Medrash, right? So the question, I want to ask three questions on this Medrash. Three questions. The most obvious question is, no, what's the most obvious question?
Doesn't God know that she needs to come and say that?
What's another attempt at the most obvious question?
It's been a long time.
What do you mean?
Hashem said he would return us quickly.
70 years is relatively short, I think.
I was just talking about.
It's relatively short. In other words, why is Rachel the most obvious question? Why is Rachel more effective than everybody else? Why is her claim more effective?
She gave the signs.
Why is that any better than Avram Avinu being Akedas Yitzchak, right? Why is it better than and Leah and Yaakov, and why is it any better?
That was totally against her nature.
And I mean, and Avram Avinu was into killing his son?
No, but
you're the Kasha? Okay, no, let's hold off. We can. Probably if we think hard enough, we can come up with an idea. Second question I want to raise. And this question is really based on this Medrash. Not all Midrashim say it this way. But the Medrash says that she says, Lodai sheshotakti. I was what? I was, the language that she says is, I was quiet. I was quiet. Right? She says, I was quiet. Lodai she, not only was I quiet, but I gave over the simanim. I gave over the simanim. So too, God, you should also be quiet. Why is there the emphasis on Rachel's being quiet? Really, the great thing that Rachel did was not that she was quiet. The great thing that she did was what? Was that she
gave the signs.
She gave the signs. A third question, which is seemingly a technical question, but it's a powerful question, is, Who was exiled in the first Beis HaMikdash? Which tribes? Anybody know?
Yehuda, Binyamin, and
tribe of Levi. Of those three tribes that were exiled, how many of them belonged to Rachel?
One.
Only one. Only Binyamin. And yet it says what? Yet it calls. No, what is my question? What's my question?
It's her children.
Her children.
What about
they weren't her children. Her children, right? Her children, meaning the children of Ephraim and Manasseh, meaning the children of Yosef, that was already, they were gone from,
The ten, they were the ten tribes. The ten tribes were already exiled by a man whose name was Sancheirev. Nebuchadnezzar was the later. Sennacherib, Sancheirev, the northern kingdom. Right? You hear the question? Why does it... It's a technical question, no? Why does it call Baneha? So that those are the three questions that I'd like to address in the Medrash. Before I do that, I want to make a beautiful point. It's not my Torah at all. I'm not going to say it's not my Torah. It's a beautiful sefer that I came across a few months ago. A fellow who lives in Baltimore, a physicist in Baltimore, wrote a beautiful sefer. His name is Dr. Daniel Fishkin. And he says something amazing. Just the first piece of Torah I want to share with you tonight in terms of just Rachel. The Medrash brings in the verse of Hashem says to Rachel, stop crying. Mini kolech mi bechi. Why is that? Why does God formulate it as such? Stop crying. Ve'inayach mi dima. I want you to stop crying. Why is that like, why, just stay. I've answered your prayer. What's the stop crying? So he says, so beautiful. You ready for this? It's fantastic. He says two things. Number one, we know that God always rewards mida keneged mida. What does that mean, mida keneged mida? Measure for measure, right? The way that what you accomplish is rewarded, right, in a very specific and targeted way, very calibrated. So God says to Rachel, I'm going to give you the ability to stop crying. Why? Why? Because what? Because you stopped Leah's tears. What you did, remember we started, right? Rashi quotes, beautiful, no. You would be right. I know you're in Connecticut, whatever, or East Brunswick, whatever it is, but here we're back in LA. Veini Leah Rakos. And the eyes of Leah, the eyes of Leah were soft, says Rashi, not like the Dasakanim. She was crying. And her cries would have been even greater because she was thinking of Esav. Ve'ene Leah Rakos. So what did Rachel do? She stopped the tears of Leah. And she translated those tears into something much greater for Leah. Leah became the mother of Klal Yisrael. So God says, the quid pro quo, the mida keneged mida is, I'm going to stop you from crying. Because you stopped her from crying, I'm going to stop you from crying. Beautiful, no? Beautiful. But a little bit deeper. A little bit deeper. You ready for this? This is amazing. If you take a look just a little bit later on in the parasha. A little bit later on in the parasha. So, we find, it's Perek Lamed. Second. Look at Pasuk Kaf Beis, page 156, Perek Lamed. It says in verse 22, chapter 30, verse 22. Stay with me here. Vayisko lechim es Rachel. And God remembered Rachel. Vayishma eleha Elohim. And God heard her. Vayiftach es rachma, and he opened up her womb. Vatar vateled ben, and she also gave birth. And the name of that child was Yosef. Vatomer asav Elokim escher pasi, and God gathered in my embarrassment. So look at Rashi. What does it mean? What does it mean that he remembered her? So Rashi says, Pasukapes. Rashi says, Zachar la, he remembered her, Shemasra simaneha la'achota. It's the right column, about three lines on the bottom. He remembered that Rachel gave the signs to her sister. And he also saw, V'shehayita meitzira, and she was very bothered by the fact that what? That, hold on 1 second. She was very bothered by the fact that Shelo Tale Begoralo Shel Esav, that she didn't want to fall into the lot of Esav. You see what's going on here? What's going on here? A role reversal. In other words, Leah takes the place of Rachel. So that means that Rachel is going to take the place of Leah. In particular, if she is barren, then Yaakov might not want to stay with her. Shema Yigar Shena Yaakov Lefi She'en Labanim. That what? That Yaakov will divorce her because she won't have children. Va'af Esav HaRasha Kach Ola B'libo. And Esav also thought this. When he heard that she has no children, and this is why what we say, who she yisein hapayit haadmon kavat shelo chala tzaval kachtalo v'nit bahala. A poem that we say on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah is the day that Hashem remembered Rachel, that the Esav plotted to do what? To take Rachel back. So what happens here is that Leah's tears are replaced by whose tears? By Rachel's tears. And so therefore, it's not simply the midah keneged midah, that what? That Hashem tells Rachel, stop crying. Stop crying because you prevented Leah from crying. But Hashem is also saying to Rachel that I'm going to make it that you will stop crying also. That mini kolich midima, that you also, Rachel, I'm going to make sure that you're not going to cry. I'm going to make sure that you're not going to cry. Even though Rachel cried, right? She cried. When did she cry? During that interim period when Leah becomes Yaakov's wife and she has the children and Rachel doesn't have the children. So Hashem says, but Rachel, mini kolich mibechi, veinayich midima, because you know what? Because what you did was so remarkable, that I'm going to make sure that in the end you won't cry. Now, follow with me one more point. What did we just do now? We just added a second layer of midah keneged midah. You with me? The first layer is what? Hashem says, stop crying because you prevented Leah from crying. Now, then the second point is, and Leah and Rachel, now you're crying because you're afraid about Esav. Don't worry, I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen either. Now, follow one more step. Very amazing pshat. I don't have time to go into it in any great detail, but look at page 154. Vatomer el Yaakov. Rachel is jealous of her sister because she's not having children. Vatomer el Yaakov, havali banim. Give me children. Vim ayin meis anochi. And if not, it's like I'm dead. So Yaakov says, Vayikar af Yaakov Rachel. So what does Yaakov say to her? Yaakov gets angry. He says, am I God? Am I instead of God that prevented you from having children? In other words, Yaakov is basically saying, and Rashi develops this, Yaakov is basically saying, look, it's not my fault. I have children with Leah. Am I instead of God? So what does Rachel say? Rachel says, I'm like dead without children. And what does Yaakov say? Yaakov says, look, I have children. Obviously, it's your problem. So what do Chazal say? Chazal say, and obviously I'm saying it stronger than Yaakov said it, but I'm saying to accentuate the point. So look, please, at look how Rashi quotes a famous line here. Rashi says as follows. Look at. Rashi on Havali, right column. Rashi says, "V'chikach asa avicha li'imecha, v'halo hitpalel aleha." Rachel says, "But didn't your father Yitzchak daven for your mother Rivka? So why don't you daven for me?" And then when Yaakov responds back, Chazal criticize Yaakov. Because Chazal say, that's not the way that you answer somebody who's in pain. In other words, Rachel was in a place of great, great pain. And what does Yaakov say? Yaakov says, it's not my problem, it's your problem. And Chazal say, very strong, Rabban quotes this. Chazal say about Yaakov, is this the way that you answer people in pain? Kach onim et hamiikot, This is the way that you answer people who are suffering. I'm telling you, Chayecha, Shebanecha Atidim Lamod Lifnei Bina. I'm giving you, listen to what Chazal say, laser analysis. You with me? I'm telling you, Hashem says, by your life, your children are going to have to stand before her child. What is that referring to? Yosef?
And his brothers.
Right? The brother is standing before Yosef. So again, I have a simple question. What's the Mida Keneged Mida? Like, what happened here? Yaakov says, it's not my problem, it's your problem. So what does God say? That's the way you answer? So by your life, your children are going to stand before her child. It's not their fault. What's the measure for measure here? So again, beautiful Mida Keneged Mida. Listen to this. Amazing. What did Rachel say? What did Rachel say? If I don't have children, I'm like what?
Dead.
I'm like dead. Now please remember one moment. What happened? And Yaakov said, but I have children. You're like dead, but I have children, so I'm not like dead, right? You follow me? I'm not like dead, you're like dead. So what happened? What did the children of Yaakov say to the child of Rachel when they had that famous encounter before Yosef revealed himself? What did the children say? In particular, it was Yehuda. What did Yehuda say? Remember what Yehuda said?
I'm dead.
Yehuda said, my father is in such unbelievable pain. He lost what? He lost Yosef. And now you want Binyamin. You don't want to return Binyamin. If we go back without Binyamin, what's going to happen? He's going to die. Comes the Medrash and says, you claim that you can live without my children. You with me? Comes the Medrash and says, you will see the time will come that you will eat those words. When your children stand before my children, when the B'nai Leah stand before the B'nai Rachel, they will say, if Yaakov is without the B'nai Rachel, he won't be able to make it. You think that you can live without my children. You don't understand what it means to not have the B'nai Rachel. Beautiful, no? That's a whole different way of looking. I mean, I read this Medrash so many times, but now, the whole thing comes, you see the way the Rebbe Shalom, runs the world. Yaakov, the very words that Yaakov used in a rational, logical way, later on, many years later, he has to, ultimately, he recants those words in a most dramatic setting. Yes, David.
That's not what it says in the Chumash. It says, am I instead of God who has withheld the fruit of your womb?
Correct.
It doesn't say, Okay,
so, but it really does. It really does. Hold it. David, what's it? She says, I'm like dead. Yeah. And he says to her, Am I instead of God who has prevented you from having children? I'm fine. You're the one with the problem. Now, happens to be, the way I read it to you was I also added the interpolation of Chazal, of the Medrash. But it's not a stretch at all. If you just put the two pieces of the dialogue together, it's not a stretch at all. What he's really saying is, you're like dead, but so you're the one who has to daven, not me. Because I don't have that same passion as you, because I'm not like dead.
But the way, if you read it plainly,
right,
it seems like Yaakov is in fact very humble, because he's trying to impart reality on her so she gets out of her depression.
I don't think it's a contradiction, because on the one hand, he's giving a logical response, and it makes a lot of sense. On the other hand, the rabbis say, where's the empathy? And the truth is, if we wanted to give a relationships class, which I generally don't do, right, because it's not my thing, but everybody knows that when you relate to somebody who's in pain and suffering and you try to solve their problem logically, that's like a disconnect, right? First you empathize, first you feel the pain, and then you say, okay, let's see what we can do. Okay? Now, Now, okay, so all this is the background for the beautiful piece of Torah that I want to share with you. We have three questions on the Medrash. What were the three questions on the Medrash? Why the tears? Why focus on the tears? What else? Why emphasis on being quiet? And what else? And why is it called the children of Rachel, when really it's two out of three are the children of Leah. You with me? Okay. Now, a year or two ago, I threw at you a very, very deep idea based on Rabbi Willig's piece of Torah, based on Rav Shalom Shadron's piece of Torah, that said, I'm not going to go into the whole thing, that basically said that Leah never knew that Rachel gave away the signs. Now you might say to me, oh, how could that be? How could Leah not have known? If Rachel gave her the signs, how could Leah not have known? Did you hear what I just said now? I just said something that's so remarkable and dramatic. But I don't know if you remember, we did this a few years ago. But the claim that I wanted to make based, Rabbi Willig really said, but I have more proof to it tonight, that Leah never knew that Rachel did this great favor for her. How did Rachel pull it off? So a few years ago I told you, the example that I told you was it could be that the signs, according to many, the signs were the basic laws for women. Nida, Chala, Hadlakas Haner. The three mitzvahs for women. So Rachel gave Leah a shir on, a premarital counseling shir on the mitzvahs of women. And then when Yaakov on the wedding night says, what are the mitzvahs of women? And Leah says, that's interesting that you mentioned that. Neither Chala Lo Kasaner. Like, she doesn't put two and two together. Leah never knew that Rachel gave the signs. I came across, a friend, my cousin, shared this piece of Torah with me. That there's another way of saying that same idea. That Leah never knew. But this way, you ready for this? But this way, it's a very, very, very interesting idea. I'll just tell it to you very briefly, but you'll see why it's important to go with that. I'm going to go with that same approach, but I'm not developing. At that time, 2 years ago, we had seven questions that this solved. I'm not interested in solving the seven questions. I'm interested in presenting to you like another five or six more that will also be worked through. You'll see. Okay, so we'll be ending this year. Don't worry. 9:15, Mirat Hashem. Mirat Hashem. Let's daven for that also. Okay, so now, listen carefully. So I saw it brought down that, again, Leah did not know that Rachel gave the signs. So how did she pull it off? So he said this commentary says this wild pshat, that Yaakov, who suspected Lavan, you have to stay with me here, Yaakov said like this, Yaakov said to Rachel, listen, on wedding night, because they must have looked similar, when I ask you who you are, okay, I want you to say Leah. I want you to say that you're Leah. Why? Because Yaakov is used psychology. He said, look, if he switches with me, right? If Lavan switches, you follow what I'm saying? If Lavan switches with me, so if you know the sign, you say that you're Leah, right? But if Lavan switches with me and he gives me Leah instead of Rachel, and I ask her who she is, so she's not going to want to say that she's Leah, right? She's not going to want to say that she's Leah, so she's going to say that she's Rachel, which will be the dead giveaway that she's not Rachel. So that was the plan. That was the plan that Yaakov made. You follow? That was the plan that Yaakov made with Rachel. Say that you're Leah. So when Rachel saw that Leah was being taken, Rachel said to Leah, you know, Yaakov really wants to marry you. And Leah says, I don't really think he does. She said, I'm telling you, he really wants to marry you. And here's the proof. Here's the proof. When he asks who you are, just tell him. And you'll see. And then what happened? He asks, who are you? And she says, I'm Leah. And he says, beautiful. This is beautiful. Leah never knows that Rachel gave her the sign. Now listen, this explains many things. One incredible, incredible episode, which is really the litmus, it's the main kasha, and this episode appears in this week's parasha. Please take a look at page 154. Page 154. And I'm going to share with you, and this is really what I want to focus on the next 7 or 8 minutes, number of questions on this episode. Vayelech Reuven v'meik tzir chitim. Reuven goes, on page 154, chapter 30, verse 14. Reuven goes in the times of the harvest. Vayimtza dudaim basadeh. And he found dudaim in the field. What are the dudaim? The Gemara says that they were some type of fertility items. So there are different opinions what they were. Some say that they were mandrakes, violets, basket of figs, jasmine, whatever it is, not important what it is. And he brought them to Leah's mother. Rachel says to Leah, in a nice way, what does Rachel say? Can you give me a little bit of your son's dudaim? And she even says, please. Right? So she even followed that. So now all of a sudden the sledgehammer comes. But Tomer law. Look what she says. Hama'ad kachteches ishi. Is it a small thing? Can somebody translate the next word kachteches ishi? No. Not that you took my wife. Not that you took my man. Is it a small thing that you are taking my man? Kachtech is not hama'at that lakacht in the past tense. Hamad kachteich is kachat, oh, that kachat in the present tense. That you are taking my man. Is it a small thing that you are taking my? In other words, that's the next question. It's question number four I want to raise. Why does she say in the present tense? She took him. She took him, right? If Rachel took her man, it would have happened already. Why? What's the present tense? Hamad kachteich es ishi. Also, it's a little bit of chutzpah, right? We've asked that question before. It's a chutzpah. What do you mean? Rachel took her man? No, you got it mixed up. Rachel gave you her man. Hama'at kachtech es ishi. V'lakachas gamas duda ebeni. This seems a little bit random or lopsided. Next question. In other words, you did two terrible things. First, you took my husband. Let's just work within Leah's worldview. And then also, you took my pet rock. Right? You took my flower. Like, that does not seem to be, like, really equals here. You with me? And the Medrash says something that's even more remarkable. Are you ready for this? So, like, we're just rolling up the questions here. The Medrash says, remarkable. You ready for this? The Medrash says that in this trade, because what happens? Well, let's finish up the story. What happens? So what does Rachel say? But Tomer Rachel. Rachel says, you know, she seems to say, I'm interpolating this. You know, you're right. What I did is terrible. Lachein, therefore, yishkavi machalayla takas dudoy minech. If you give me the flowers, whatever, he can sleep with you tonight. And by Yovo Yaakov min Asadeh Be'er Batete Leah Likwa Sova Tomer Eli Tavo. No, you're mine tonight. Leah says, you're mine tonight. Ki Sachor Schaticha B'dudai B'ni. Because I bought you. This seems like something from West Hollywood. God forbid, Lahavda of what's going on here? I bought you tonight. You hear him say? You hear the question? It's so like, whoa. And they have a child by the name of Yisachar. And what does Yisachar mean? What's Yisachar? You're my reward for my acquisition. Forever, you're the reward for my deal. Unbelievable. And then the Medrash says something that's even more remarkable than anything. You ready for this Medrash? Unbelievable Medrash. The Medrash says that each one gained something and each one lost something. You ready for this? Each one gained and each one lost. Zu niskeret, v'zu niskeret. V'zu hifsida, v'zu hifsida. And there are different opinions what each one gained and each one lost. So one opinion says that Leah, she gained burial with Yaakov, and she gained the tribes. And what did Rachel gain? She gained the Dudaim. So each one gained, and each one. It's Lahavdil. Anybody who's a sports fan, right? No, I don't even remember some of the, like, you think about, like, the most lopsided, you know, trade in sports history. When I was growing up, the one, like, again, I apologize for this, but I'm a Mets fan, so we've had like 2 good years in the last 40. But one of the greatest trades in history was when they traded Pete Falcone and they got Keith Hernandez. Keith Hernandez was the key to the team that brought the Mets to the World Series. I'm sorry if I'm living past nostalgia. And Pete Falcone was like, and it was like the best trade, like the lopsided, crazy lopsided trade. Like, why would anybody want to do it? But you don't ask conscious, they did it, and it was one of the greatest things in Mets history. And there are more, like, what, like, oh, I see. So Rachel got the Dudaim, and Leah got the Shvatim and the Kvura. And each one gained something, and each one lost something. Like, what's unbelievable? That the Mets doesn't say that. The Medrash doesn't say that. Okay, that's a good point, but it doesn't say that. Okay, now. And then the Medrash, and then Rashi says, listen carefully. Rashi over here says, and because Rachel was mizalzel in the kavod of the dwelling with the tzaddik, she did not merit to be buried with him.
What,
wow. That's harsh. Why was she mizalzel?
She was her knight.
Because it was her knight, and she said, I'll take you. He's yours for the Dudaim. Like, what? Like, that's pretty harsh. Now, what? Like, what's going on here? What's going on here? Next question. I'm not going to review the question because there's just too much going on, but you'll see. It'll all come together. All come together. And it seems a little strange. Rachel at least asked nicely. Right? Leah was very, very tough. Why was she so tough? Furthermore, what do we call Rachel? What's the term we use right after Rachel?
Imenu.
Do we say Leah Imenu?
No.
No. Mama Rachel. We don't say Mama Leah. Right? Why? What happened to Leah Imenu? What's going on here? Furthermore, why is Leah not successful in the Medrash? She had more children at stake than Rachel. And yet the Medrash calls it Rachel's children. So what's going on here? Furthermore, one last question. When Leah is very difficult with Rachel, she throws in one word that we need to explore. She says on page 154 of Vayitomer La, Hama'at kachtech es ishi. Is it a small thing that you keep on taking my husband? You take him? V'lakachas gam es duda'e b'ni. And now you also want to take the duda'im of my son. So the also implies what? That there's a connection between, it's not just that they seem to be, like, you know, one's huge and one's small, but what does the word also imply? That there's a connection between, there's some type of logical connection between taking my husband and taking the Dudaim. It's not like two random things, it's gam. It's also, it's somehow, it's connected. What's the connection here? So I want to share with you a beautiful piece of Torah. And this piece of Torah is really predicated based on that, what we learned 2 years ago or so. That really, Leah did not know that what Rachel did. But there is a basic tension between Rachel and Leah. And this tension between Rachel and Leah plays itself out in this story, Dafka. And you might have kashas even afterwards. But in this story, we see a tremendous change in the relationship between Rachel and Leah, a change that lasts forever. And here's how it goes. Every woman who is married has two titles. Every woman who's married and has children, rather, has two titles. She is a wife, and she's a mother. She's a wife and she's a mother. And both of those are very exalted titles. A wife is a companion to the husband. The wife can be an ezer, can be kinegdo. She is the one that teases and coaxes and evinces and evokes greatness from her husband. She is the one that brings him to a great madriga. And they are a team together. And then there is the bechina of being a mother. And while a mother and father share children, right? We know that a mother is different than a father. As I often like to tell the joke, I carry pictures of my children, my wallet, and I ask my wife if she does, and she often doesn't. I say, why? And she says, because if you would not carry the pictures of the children in your wallet, you wouldn't remember what they look like. You just pop in and pop out. Right? A mother's a mother. A mother's a mother. And a father's a father. And a woman is a mother, and a woman is a wife. And Rachel, we are told, Rachel, from the very beginning, Rachel is described as a beautiful woman. That's not the description of a mother. That's the description of an isha, of a wife. Isha yifat toar v'yifat mareh. Yaakov sees Rachel and he sees a wife. He sees a wife. Leah's beauty, machlokas dasikanim versus Rashi, Leah's beauty is not defined as the beauty of a wife. Her beauty is what? It's the beauty of a mother. Leah is the mother. But Rachel wants what Leah has, and Leah wants what Rachel has. Rachel wants like anything, to be the mother. And Rachel says to Yaakov, Havali banim, give me children, imayin meisanochi, and if not what? And if not what? I'm like dead. What do you mean you're like dead? The Mefarshim say that Yaakov says to her, you're not like dead, you're a wife, you're a productive woman in society. How can you say that? You know what I mean, imayin meisanochi? It's not true. But that's what Rachel feels. Right? That's what she feels, imayin meisanochi. She wants to be a mother. And what does Leah call every one of her kids? Right, she says, what is she calls him? Reuven. Look, my son, my husband's is gonna see that I have a kid. Shimon, because God has seen my affliction. And Levi, right, what affliction? Because my husband doesn't seem to love me. And Levi, now he has to come with me. Because now, as the Chizkuni says, Reuven is one hand, Shimon is another hand, Levi's the third kid. Now my husband's got to come with me. If I want to carry all three kids, he's got to come with me also. It's before triple strollers, right? You know, it's the Chizkuni's pshat. Right? Third, you know, each one, it's interesting, every single one of her kids, right? Every single one of her kids connected to her husband. She viewed each one of her kids as a way of taking the bond and making it closer, because maybe she can be the wife of Yaakov. So what happens? Reuven comes and he brings what? He brings the Duda'im. And he brings the Duda'im to his mother and he says, maybe this will help you have another child. Because she became barren. Leah had stopped having children. And Reuven says, maybe this will get you closer. This will get you closer. And Rachel, she wants the Duda'im also. Why does Rachel want the Duda'im? Because she wants the Duda'im, right? Because she wants to be a mother. Rachel wants to be Mama Rachel. So she says to Leah, give Tani Nali mi Duda'im, give me from the Duda'im. So what does Leah say to Rachel? You've taken my ishi. Beautiful. Hamad kach teches ishi. Not that you've taken in the past, but you are the impediment You are the impediment for me to have a relationship of Ish and Isha with my husband Yaakov. Hamad kachteches Ishi. How could she say that? After all, she gave the simonim. Rachel gave the simonim. How could she say that? The answer is what? She didn't know. But she knows that Rachel came second, but he's first in Yaakov. She's first in Yaakov's eyes. So you want to take the Dudaim? The Dudaim is the way in which I can get closer to Yaakov. So they make a deal. It's an amazing deal. What's the deal they make? What's the deal they make?
We'll swap roles.
We're going to switch roles. Here's the deal. I want children. You want Yaakov. That's the deal. And what happens? What happens is, say Chazal, and they say it in one of two ways. Say Chazal, from this moment and on, Yaakov is going to be buried with Leah. And you can say it in one of two ways. Either because what? Either because now Leah becomes not Leah Imenu, but Leah becomes Leah Eishes Yaakov. Or you can say it the other way, which is what? That Rachel now becomes Rachel Imenu, therefore Rachel needs to be perched on the road as Klal Yisrael is walking into exile. Who's going to be davening for who? Al Baneha! Rachel is not just the mother of one kid. Rachel is the mother of who? All the children. Rachel Mivakel Baneha! Not just Binyamin, but also what? Also Yehuda, also Levi. All the children become Rachel's children. And if you look later on, you'll see that when Esau sees them, the language of the text is, right, Habanos Banai, but these are all the children, and Rachel is there, she is present. She is present. Because they all become Rachel's children. Because Rachel becomes Mama Rachel. Rachel Mivaka al Baneha. And Chazal say, each one gained, and each one lost. Each one gained. Rachel gained being Mama Rachel. And this was before. This is before Yosef was born. This is even before Yosef was born, right? Rachel gained that. And what did Leah gain? Leah gained more children. Shvatim. Doesn't call it her children anymore. Shvatim. And she gained what? And she gained burial. She gained kvura. She gained burial. So what happens here is, right, what happens here is that there is a solidification. There's a solidification of the roles. Of the roles of what? Of Rachel and Leah. Right? There's a now the solidification of the role of Rachel is that now Rachel is going to be forever what? The mother. And now listen. Listen carefully. This is how the Medrash. This is now the Medrash is very beautiful, right? Because what does the Medrash say? The Medrash says that she's crying for what? Al Baneha. Now, when did this all start? When did the conflict begin in essence? When did the conflict begin in essence? When Rachel what? When Rachel gave the simanim. The moment that Rachel gave the simanim. When the moment that Rachel gave the simanim was the moment that what? That she brought the tzara in her house. She what? She could have had it all. But you know, Rachel, even when Leah came into the house, Rachel could have pulled rank on Leah. What could Rachel have done? Rachel could have said, okay, Rachel, Leah, you're in. But let's remember who's first and who's second. But what did Rachel do? Now this is where the Medrash is beautiful. The language of the Medrash is. Shatakti. What's the great schar of Rachel? It's true. It was quite an impressive thing. Mesiras ha-simanim. The giving of the simanim, that was quite an impressive thing. But that was what? That was a one-time event. What, you could be a one-hit hero. You could be a one-hit wonder. But Rachel, what was Rachel's greatness? Rachel's greatness was that she constantly was a shosekes. She was constantly what? Constantly quiet. Says the Gemara in Megillah. Bischar tznius. Esther had tznius. What was Esther's tznius? That she did not reveal. Ein Esther magedes es amaves voladata. And the Gemara says, where did Esther get her tznius from? Because Esther is a direct descendant. She is from Binyamin, which comes from Rachel. Why is Rachel called a tzanua? Rachel's a balas chesed. The answer is tznius is not revealing. Not revealing in dress. But tznius is also not revealing in the deepest place. And so Rachel says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Ani shatakti. My act of shtika wasn't a one-time event. It was the rest of my life. It was the constant drama. And even when I was pummeled by Leah, and even when Leah didn't know, but even then I was willing to give up the role of being the wife of Yaakov in order to be the mother of the children. Ribono Shel Olam, aren't you willing to be the mother of your children? Aren't you willing to be shotekes also? Aren't you also willing to be quiet? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you got me. I will be quiet for you, Rachel, but for nobody else. And the Ribono Shel Olam is, in the language of Chazal, the Gemara in Gittin says that when Titus HaRasha takes the sword and he slays God in his mind, he slices the parochas and it begins to bleed, and he says, I killed God! And the Ribono Shel Olam says nothing. And the Gemara says, Mi kamocha ba'elim Hashem. Who is like you among the powerful God? And the Gemara says, Al tikri ba'elim ala ba'elimim. Don't read it among who is like you among the powerful, but read it, who is like you among the mute? Ezehu gibor. Who is mighty? Hakovish es Yitzro. The one who doesn't say anything. And Chazal say, that's referring to God. The ability to hold it in. The ability to not say what you want to say. That was the greatness of the legacy of Rachel. And because of this, because of her being able to not say what she so much wanted to say, when she had to say what no one else could say, the Ribono Shel Olam listened to her. The great saga of Rachel and Leah plays itself out Ad bias goel tzedek. Chazal teach us that every night, chatzos, the Jew who says tikkun chatzos for the destruction of the temple, it's called tikkun Rachel and tikkun Leah. In the future, Rachel and Leah will once again merge. The definition of motherhood and the definition of wifehood, for lack of a better term, those two roles will ultimately re-engage and re-merge into one. But until that time, Rachel Imenu teaches us, Rachel, Mama Rachel, teaches us that a Jew who is Moser Nefesh, who is willing to give up, it's not defined by the external one-time flashy act. It's the private, incredible courage of holding back such that one is able to ultimately have a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam that will ultimately yield the Geula, that will ultimately bring out the Rachamim. Ribono Shel Olam should bring us to that day of Rachel and Leah, Yisimach Elokim Kisar Rivka, Rachel v'Leah, of Rachel and Leah coming back and uniting, and we should merit to see the Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mheiru B'yameinu, Amen V'Amen. Okay, Rabbi, we'll stop here, and once again.